This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Now, they talk about the Cowboys every day. You understand there's 31 other NFL teams. How many Major League Baseball teams are there? 30? 32 NHL teams. They only talk about the Cowboys.
How about that?
They're America's team. And by the way, it's all just marketing. Have you watched the documentary on America's team or the football life? It was just marketing. It was the late 70s. But the football guys didn't like it.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Just realized I threw my pen. Don't have it for hour two.
All right.
it's all good.
Welcome. Recon mission again.
Welcome. Now you're good. Welcome to hour two of the RP show, everybody. It's episode number 341 of Canada's daytime sports talk show. I think we might have to do a poll question on, should we change it to North America's daytime sports talk show? Get all these American viewers writing in. And which is great. Which is great. But we can't change the fact and won't change the fact that we're coming to you from Western Canada and the sweatpants capital. Like, viewer in Toronto, Chris Bird just wrote in and he says, I guess nobody cares about MLS? Or is it because Toronto FC is in first and by default the MLS is hated? No, it's because nobody cares out here. I was going to put it to you. I mean, what were we talking about in hour one? Curling, CFL, junior hockey? It's not... You guys out there can have the Toronto FC, which is not our thing. Ron Robinson was with us in hour one. The commissioner of the Western Hockey League talked about why they're so confident in the fact that they'll be able to play on January 8th. And he said it's because of their dealings with the government and health officials. They're confident they're going to return to play. Awesome. This hour, Eric Engels, who will be joining us in moments from Sportsnet Montreal, covers the Habs. And Greg Zahn to preview the World Series. And let's get to the quick six show topics, Jordan, while we're at it. Let's re-up it. Point one, the World Series is set. It will be the Los Angeles Dodgers against the Tampa Bay Rays. And I was hoping for the Dodgers-Astros for obvious reasons. Would I say third trip in 5 years or fourth trip in 5 years for the Dodgers? That's a story right there.
Yeah.
Forget about the Astros.
Oh, it's been great. I mean, but they got to win one. They've got to win one. And... you know, the Dodgers have been waiting, and another trip, really good ball team, but so is Tampa. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch.
I actually can't wait to talk to Zani about it. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Point two, NFL week six notes. The Titans win in overtime. Your Titans. I know that you were in the broadcast booth for curling when that game was going to overtime. Did you have it on your phone?
No, I was following the updates, but then, you know, you get a chance to go back and those are games I'd go back and watch for sure. Even if, you know,
did you know that they were going to overtime?
I didn't know they were going to overtime. I was following the lead slipping away in the third quarter and into the early fourth quarter. And then he threw the pick and they were down by one. And I'm like, this is putting me in a bad mood. I don't want to be in a bad mood when I'm on the air. So I put my phone away. And then once the curling was done, I checked the score.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, when I was calling the Rough Riders for 20 years, I didn't have the time to follow all these other sports. I'll give you a great example. My favorite team in the world is the Regina Pats, and they were in the final of the 2018 Memorial Cup. The final. And I'm calling a Rough Riders Eskimos game in Edmonton, the preseason game, and I've got it on my monitor. I couldn't do it. I couldn't follow both.
I know.
Nor should I have even tried.
Because you want to be all in on one, on both. You want to be all in on both and you just can't.
Can't do it. Or you'll do both poorly. Bucks won. I had people writing me saying, you're a Bucks fan? No. I'm a Tom Brady fan. And that reminds me, tomorrow Ricky Ray is going to be on the show. Did you know that?
I know now.
How about that?
How about that?
I want to know his thoughts on Tom Brady and TB getting it done at 40 plus. Ricky knows a little bit about that. Point three, Monday Night Football, a twofer. Ricky the Iguana does too. A twofer today at 3 p.m. Mountain, Kansas City versus Buffalo at 6:15 Mountain. It's America's team. Dallas Cowboys going to have our way with the Arizona Cardinals. Can't wait. Point four, Ed Hervey resigns as general manager of the BC Lions. It's led to our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. How would you describe the tenure of Ed Hervey in BC? How did they word it on Facebook? Good, average, or bad? And the majority is saying average, 64%. I voted for bad, poor. I'm sorry. They finished fourth and fifth in his 2 years. Signed Mike Riley to what I believe is a bad contract. Screwed up their salary cap, I believe. Had Cody Fajardo right under his nose and let him get away. And you mentioned signing Devon Claybrooks, which history will show was not a good signing.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, he needed more time to really get his stamp on, to start to see the success of some of the younger players he brought in and stuff. But judging, you can only judge it by the body of work. And it just, there was no success.
We wish him well, resigning for personal reasons, and I don't know what those are. Point five, Joe Thornton to Toronto. We kicked that square in hour one, 1 hour ago, so I'll leave that. Maybe we'll come back to it later.
Sure.
And point three, the Vatterstad Saskatchewan Super Series. I just have to mention it. The guy asked, why are we not talking about Toronto FC? Because we had tens of thousands of people too. There's more people watching Matt Dunstone versus Colton Flash than there were Toronto FC. Certainly here, maybe in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We go to where our analytics tell us what people want. That's the quick six show topics. What's happening with Eric Engels at Sportsnet Montreal? Just logging in. Clark says, give him 1 minute. Rockstar of the day on Friday was Jeff Reinbold, by the way. Today you can vote at on Twitter, at Rod Peterson Show, for the Rockstar of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Your options will be Ron Robison, Eric Engels, and Greg Zahn. Looking forward to all of these chats. That's a lot on the table. I wasn't worried about what we were going to talk about
today. No, and you were wondering about the Aaron Rodgers touchdown celebration.
Yeah.
Before we went to air, where he had the hands behind and he's looking down. And I didn't know what that was either, because I didn't see the skit, but from surfing Twitter and everything else, it's a Key and Peele skit. So Key and Peele, the two comedians, that they do a lot of different skits. Saturday Night Live, I think, right?
I don't watch it.
They were part of that, but anyways, the skit was based on the touchdown celebrations going over the line. And there was the skit of the one guy doing pelvic thrusts, right? And the referee, which was one of the other characters, says, you know, it was like, two thrusts are okay, three pelvic thrusts, and you get the penalty.
Right.
And he's looking like this down at, and the referee's right there. So I think he was emulating that skit from Key and Peele. So most of the world was like, this is the most awkward minute, and we don't know what the hell he's doing. And some of the world was got it and thought it was funny.
Well, the interesting part of that game, Green Bay Tampa yesterday, was it was a battle of two of the cockiest quarterbacks in the NFL. And I happen to really like Tom Brady. There's something about cockiness and arrogance, if you will, that is kind of attractive. Like, I like Tom's chutzpah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Aaron Rodgers' chutzpah. Tom Brady would never say in an interview, a down year for me is a Hall of Fame career for others.
No.
He would never say that.
One comes off as confident, one comes off as cocky or arrogant, right?
Right.
And that is a turn off. The confidence is a turn on, right? And for Tom, he only puts himself in positions to succeed. He's confident about what he knows, again. He doesn't guarantee wins and stuff like that, but he's confident about what they do well, right? He doesn't worry about what he's not good at. Right, he doesn't ever talk about running the football. Right, about his rushing stats. He always talks about how, you know, the touchdowns and his teammates. And he's a team guy. And Aaron Rodgers, we've seen some of the confrontations with teammates and with coaches in the past. And hey, they went head to head, and this was quite a battle for the two of them. And it started out really well for Rodgers, but Tom Brady at the end, he's left standing.
I just loved Ndamukong Suh just in Rodgers' face, all just chasing him like crazy. But Rodgers wouldn't shut up. I don't think Aaron Rodgers and I would be friends. I'd love to have a conversation with the guy. You know, he was so bum hurt, if you will, that they drafted Jordan Love in the first round this year. You did the same thing to Brett Favre. Grow up. This is how it works. You didn't care when you pushed Brett Favre out of the nest. It annoys me. And the other thing was Troy Aikman. Troy. You know I love him.
I know you do.
Best color commentator in football. He never gets the credit. They always talk about Collinsworth, Summerall, or Madden, and these other guys. How about Troy Aikman? And he talked about a conversation he'd had with Tom Brady the day before. He's like, listen, I noticed for 20 years in New England, you lined up right behind the center. Now you're one step over. Why is that? Only Aikman would notice that stuff, and he's relating that in the broadcast. It was so good.
He is so good. He is the broadcasting version of off the glass and out. Every play call is great, great insight, always gets the job done, but nothing flashy, right? Tony Romo is very flashy, very good at what he does, very entertaining, but can he do that same thing and still be entertaining and still be great for 10, 15 years? That's going to be fun to watch, but yeah, Troy Aikman's consistently been really good. He's got great chemistry with Joe Buck. It's a great team, and they're very good.
I would love to have just sat and just listened. I would have just been to Aikman and Brady.
Oh, for sure.
Don't mind me, guys. You just go ahead and talk.
You just do your thing. And to be around them for the weekend or for the week when they are doing their prep and they sit around the meeting rooms and they watch film and then they bring in players and coaches into those meeting rooms. We do that at the university level, too.
Yeah.
You have the conversations and get the insight.
Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, and you despise Bo Levi. Despise is a harsh term. But when you see Bo Levi at halftime whine about the refs and say the refs are out to get us, Tom Brady would never say that. Tom Brady would never say that. Can't put Bo in that category. Rick Long watching, he says, I agree about Aikman. Which part? We were kissing his butt for 10 minutes. We'll get to more of your questions in a second. But let's go out to Eric Engels now. Sportsnet Montreal joining us. Looking forward to this chat. Been with Sportsnet a long time, but he's new to the TV side of things. How you doing, Eric?
Not that new. Been with them for 5 years and doing TV all along and 13 years on the beat with the Canadians. So doing a lot of TV since then. It's a pleasure to join you guys.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to join you. And I saw the interview last week. It was a big week for the Montreal Canadiens. Started with the draft. Obviously, the Domi trade that day, signing Brendan Gallagher. Can you give me the pulse, the temperature of Habs fans here this week? How are they feeling about the moves?
I think they're excited. I mean, there's been a lot of positive momentum since March when they were a 24th place team and on their way to barreling towards a lottery pick. I think you look at what they were able to do in the bubble in Toronto, and they turned a lot of heads. But more than anything, they gave something to Marc Bergevin to work with. He took a look at the roster and said, you know, this is better than I thought it was. And these players, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, Nick Suzuki among them, the young guys, stepped into the spotlight. And he was also able to see that, you know, the old dogs and Carey Price and Shea Weber were very much at the top end of their game. And so it accelerated the reset he embarked on in the summer of 2018 and the moves that he's made since. You know, whether they've made the fans excited or not, I think they're going to make the players in that room pretty excited. They've got a lot more depth. They've got a lot more balance. And it wasn't just adding players for the sake of adding them. You know, Marc Bergevin has added to the areas that were of need. A reliable backup goaltender in Jake Allen, a guy in Joel Edmondson who brings size and speed on the back end. Maybe he's not the best puck mover, but he's a guy that fits well with what they have and pushes, you know, a young up-and-coming defenseman and Alex Romanov to the third pairing, gives him time to break in. And then the two guys up front, a power forward and Josh Anderson, they haven't had that type of player since John LeClair was in their roster. We're going back to like 1995, and Tyler Toffoli comes in on a pretty good value deal.
I'm going to come back around on all of that, but Eric, are you a born and raised Montrealer or Quebecer at least?
Yeah, born and raised in Montreal, and wasn't sure that I'd be able to make it work and have a career in this line of work here in Montreal. It's quite competitive, and there's not a lot of jobs in the English marketplace, so it's been a thrill of a lifetime to make it work here.
I was just going to ask you that. Do you feel like you're like living a dream every single day, you know, following and covering the Montreal Canadiens and reporting to schnoops like us across the land? You must.
You know what? It's a ton of fun, and it certainly is a dream come true, although I can't say that as a teenager I had ambitions of getting into this line of work. I was kind of, you know, I got a political science degree and wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And my whole life people had told me, you know, you should be a hockey broadcaster. You have the knowledge of the game. And, you know, I was able to gain some writing experience in gaining that degree, and things just kind of fell into place. But I'll tell you, you know, I'm sure you can empathize with this, or at least relate to it, is that when you find something that you feel you're good at, and there's a feeling like you can get better and better at it, that's where the real pleasure is derived from. So it's been a blast for 13 years, and I just want to keep getting better at doing it.
Good for you. Well, I can tell. And it doesn't feel like work. I know what you're saying. So with Claude Julien having to leave the bench with the heart issue in the playoffs, it seems like we never really got an update on that afterwards, and Bergevin's been front and center really since. What is the status of Claude Julien health-wise?
Yeah, you know what? I think he's feeling pretty good. We spoke to him a couple times since, and Marc Bergevin, you know, confirmed that he'd be back behind the bench next year. And I think that's great news. You know, anybody who knows Claude Julien is a great guy. He's a wonderful man and one of the hardest working coaches in the business. And you have to wonder after what happened with him in the bubble, you know, obviously having severe chest pains to the point where he was hospitalized and had a procedure to have a stent put into his heart. You had to wonder if he was going to be able to stand up to the rigors of the job in Montreal, where the pressure is unrelenting. And, you know, also he's over 60 years old. So great news that he's able to be back. I think, you know, I don't want to promise, but I think there's a chance we're going to speak with him this week, certainly to get his reaction on the moves that have been made by Marc Bergevin over the last few weeks. And I'm wishing Claude all the best. Great human being, great person, great to deal with. And I think he's a really good coach.
Hey, Eric, it's Darren DuPont here. I ask this because you've got Saku Koivu over your right shoulder there on the wall, which I love to see. And I want to ask, who is the identity of the Canadians now? Carey Price aside, he's probably it. But is it Brendan Gallagher? Is it Shea Weber? Who's the guy that embodies that's kind of their identity right now moving forward, do you think?
Yeah, good question. By the way, this is a painting that my wife made for me about 10 years ago. It's Saku Koivu scoring on a shootout against Andrew Raycroft. And Raycroft has seen the painting, so he didn't give me too much grief over that. Koivu definitely embodied what they were trying to be back then. And I think the guy who wears his number right now, Brendan Gallagher, is very much the identity of the Montreal Canadiens. They're a relentless, in-your-face, pest type of team. And he's good, and they are too now. I think, you know, you look at the depth of the roster and the balance that's there, they become a good team kind of overnight, such as the luxury of playing in a cap system. And when you have the money to spend and fill holes, all of a sudden you're in a different place. And they've got a good prospect system, certainly. You know, I think people around the hockey league rank them in the top five as far as the depth of their prospect pool and the talent that's there. They've got all their draft picks to make their team better if they want to moving forward. And they've just got the incentive to finally come out of this kind of dark period that they've been through. And I think when you look at the way they play and the way they're coached, Brendan Gallagher is the perfect embodiment of that.
By the way, we interrupt this interview. Breaking news, Elliot Freeman reporting the Vancouver Canucks have signed former Brandon Wheat King Jace Howerluck to a two-way deal, $800,000 in the show, $200,000 in the minors. So congratulations to Jace Howerluck. You know, moving forward, I was going to ask you about the Gallagher deal. When Marc Bergevin got choked up announcing that deal, you don't see that very often, man. Like, if at all, what did you think when you saw that? It really hit me.
Yeah, it hit me too. And it hit me because there was 24 hours in between Gallagher signing and us being able to speak to Bergevin and Gallagher about the signing. So what I had written in the interim was that, you know, when you have a player that wants to be in Montreal long-term and you have a team that wants to commit to him long-term, the optics of there being tension between both parties shouldn't be something you want to linger in the marketplace if you're the general manager. And, you know, I think maybe I was wrong about that. I think what was more important to Marc Bergevin was making it clear to Brendan Gallagher that, you know, he cared so much about him that he didn't want a second to go by with Gallagher feeling as though his time as a Montreal Canadian might be up and that he wasn't as valued as he had thought he was. I think that was the key incentive that got this thing on the rails as quickly as it did. There was obvious middle ground for them to come to, you know, whether they were fighting about term or, you know, I think that's more likely than the number amount, because I think Gallagher wanted term more than anything, and he ended up with 6 years. And I think an offer that made sense for him. I had predicted before he signed that it would be 5 years at an average value of $6.6 million. He signed for 6 years, and the annual average was 6.5. I just felt if he was going to leave 6 or 7 on the table, he needed a bit more than Chris Kreider made on his deal that was signed in February, which was worth 6.5 AAV. So all to say, what it told me is, Mark, that was a genuine visceral reaction from Marc Bergevin. He loves the player. He's the heart and soul of the Canadiens, as he's been referred to several times by everyone in the organization. And, I just think Bergevin is all about, he's a former player. He is part of the group here. And yes, he is the manager, and he has to make hard decisions, and he has to put on an all business cap at times, but he's an extremely passionate guy. And, he loves the player, and with good reason.
Last one, because I could talk about this all day, but I'll let you go after this. Jamie in Halifax is watching. He wants to know if you believe the NHL will have a Canadian division, and if so, is Montreal getting bigger with skill like the Leafs to help compete with teams like Boston, etc.? One thing at a time. Do you think we'll have this coveted all-NHL division next season?
Yeah, my answer today could be different than what it is in 2 months. And I think the NHL is in a position where they have to put together 2, 3, 4 plans and go with the one that they're allowed to go with. Because in the end, it's not about what they want. It's about what evolves medically and politically here for them to make a decision. But if you're asking me today what's going to be, the answer today has to be that, an all-Canadian division makes the most sense of anything. That with travel restricted going to late November now, I think the Trudeau government just announced, the border is shut down between the States and Canada, and there's just all kinds of logistical issues with flying people in and out of here to make exceptions, and then you have quarantines to deal with. It just doesn't make sense. So the idea of the Canadian teams playing exclusively against each other this season is more real right now than any other idea that's being proposed. And I think it's the right one. It also means that, I don't see much separation outside of Ottawa. I don't see a lot of separation between the 6 other teams in Canada. And that could, every fan base hates, I don't want to say they hate every other team in Canada, but, they certainly want to believe that their team is the best. And there's a natural rivalry element that's there, and I think it could be great for Canadian television ratings, and I think it could be great for Rogers Sportsnet, and I think I would be really excited about it. But the separation between the teams is minimal, and you look at a team like Montreal and what they've just added and the investment they've just made, and imagine now how much harder it becomes for them. But even so, if it ends up being the Atlantic Division, as to the second part of your question, I think they've climbed up the ranks in there, but it's a competitive division between Boston, Tampa, Toronto. Who knows what'll happen with the other teams in the division. Buffalo has certainly improved. Florida, I think a lot of people are counting out, but they still have a couple of superstar players that are at the heart of their roster. So, I think the Canadiens have to be extremely excited about what they have moving forward. And they also have to know that you got to make the playoffs, and that's going to be harder to do than it's ever been before if it ends up being an all-Canadian division. And if it ends up being the Atlantic Division, there's improvements there.
I think it's okay to use the term hate. Flames fans hate Oilers, vice versa. Habs, Leafs. It's okay. I know it's taboo in today's society.
I just don't want to generalize. That's all.
I know, but it makes sports fun. Eric, we enjoy your stuff, man. Keep it up. I appreciate the time today, and stay safe there in that COVID hotspot.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, and keep up the great work. I like the show.
Awesome. Thank you, Eric. Thank you. Nice words there.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteeing we'll have him back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Suck up to the host. Yeah. You'll be on.
No, I like his stuff a lot.
He's good.
We're going to take a timeout. Greg Zahn in the on-deck circle. Zahnny, because we got the World Series beginning tomorrow. Lots to get to, and of course our NFL and other football notes. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show you're watching on Facebook Live. Game Plus TV Network available in Quebec on Videotron and Rogers. And listen live on rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. Back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. It's a fantastic Monday. Episode 341 of Canada's daytime sports talk show continues. We got some new features coming up. The face-off for Ultimate Fan Zone in the Mad Greek. We've got a sports update, overtime, but first, the World Series is set. It opens tomorrow. Los Angeles Dodgers, Tampa Bay Rays. Let's go out to Greg Zahn, our good friend Zahnny. And I said off the start, Zahnny, I hope you don't mind us going to the well so often out here, but you got a lot of fans in Western Canada. They want to hear your thoughts on the World Series. How you doing today, brother, by the way?
Doing well. It's pretty amazing with the expanded playoff format, how the two best teams end up in the World Series.
Yeah.
I'm talking to my old pal Jamie Campbell today, and he said it best, and I'm just regurgitating what he said. Obviously, me being from LA, I'm ecstatic about the Dodgers coming back and finding their way to the series. It was pretty amazing baseball by the Blue Crew out there in Texas, but yeah, excited to see it. You got an interesting matchup in the fact that Tampa is they are heavy analytics. They are massively dependent on it. They do some unorthodox things, in my opinion, but they always seem to have some sort of a numeric justification for what they're trying to do. It's not always agreeable to me, but it definitely seems to have worked for them.
Well, let me just back up for a second. I was selfishly hoping for a Houston-LA World Series for obvious reasons, the storylines. Were you in any way, or do you, hate the Astros, your former team, for what they did? Are you one of those guys?
Nope, I'm not even. In fact, I'm the polar opposite. I think everybody needs to just relax and get over it, because if they think that electronic sign stealing is not still going on, they're crazy. I've said it a number of times. When I was playing for the Jays, Boston and New York were all using dedicated cameras to steal signs. You know what? I say it all the time with regards to sign stealing. If sign stealing was a bad thing, you'd only need to put down one finger. You wouldn't need to tell them once, use multiple signs ever. And it's kind of hypocritical to look at the game of baseball and paint it with this brush. Oh, electronics, metrics, data, technology, all totally acceptable as long as you use it the way we want you to use it. Sign stealing is not illegal, but using a television camera to do it is wrong. Hiring somebody that's really, really smart that can create an algorithm to determine what a pitcher's tendencies, they use technology all over the place, computer programs to figure out who's going to swing the bat in what circumstance, who's going to throw a slider in this count with this amount of guys on base. They're hypocrites. They think that, oh, it's not okay to use technology this way, but it's totally okay to use it every other way. I mean, you can't get away from technology in the game of baseball. So I think they're all hypocrites, to be honest with you. The Astros deserve to be punished a little bit because they did technically break a rule. But that's like going back and saying, oh, we want to punish a whole bunch of guys for doing steroids when they weren't illegal until 2003. Let's go back and punish the guys that were allegedly on the juice in 2000 just because we don't like it, because we want to have something to complain about to justify their success over us. Everybody, they're all a bunch of whiners, in my opinion.
I'm so glad to hear somebody agree with me, because I thought I was a lone voice. I'm like, the Astros used technology. They were ahead of the curve. And now you're all mad at them because they beat you because you weren't quick enough. And then with the steroid issue, everybody knew what was going on, too. Commissioner looked the other way. It's a topic, obviously, for another time. But, Zahnny, I knew you and I are always on the same wavelength. So thank you for that. Now, I kind of want Tampa to win because they did knock out the Blue Jays, and you always want the team that beat you to win it all because you don't look so bad. But on the flip side, the Dodgers, maybe it's their time. Your take on the World Series. Is Tampa not the better team?
No, they're not. They're not the better team. The Dodgers, on paper, in my opinion, are the better team. But that makes certain assumptions. That makes – you're assuming that Clayton Kershaw is – regular season Kershaw. He's choked every postseason in some way, shape, or form. He's never delivered start to finish that career defining postseason. And without a World Series ring, with going to the World Series 3 or 4 years, if he doesn't win one, it almost taints his legacy to some degree, because the big guys find a way to win the big games, and he hasn't been able to do it. And I have a huge amount of respect for what he's been able to accomplish in the game. But without that World Series win, it takes a little bit of the shine off of a pretty remarkable career.
You're buddies with Kershaw, are you not? Didn't I hear you say that somewhere along the line?
I'm not unfriendly. I wouldn't say we're friends. We don't exchange Christmas cards or anything. And the only time I ever faced him, he drilled me. But I have a huge amount of respect for him. I love the guy. I like the way he competes. He's got great stuff, obviously. A tremendous human being. A shining beacon of an example of you know what kids should be looking up to. But as a lifelong Dodgers fan, he frustrates me. He absolutely frustrates me. I am going to be angry with him until he finally breaks through and wins one for the Dodgers.
But that's my point a little bit, that you know him well enough. Like, what's the deal with his back spasms? It seems like going to the park every day, the Dodgers don't know if he's going to be able to go that night. Like, how serious is his back issues? And how does that relate to the World Series?
You know what? Who knows? I mean, I've had back problems too, and they're debilitating. You talk about when your back's out, you're having spasms. You're just dead tired at the end of the day from fighting, battling. It's hard to do anything when your spinal alignment is messed up. And who knows whether it's nerves, whether it's stress, maybe it's the colder temperatures. I don't know. I never have been able to put my finger on my own problems with back issues, you know, periodically throughout my life. You're like, all of a sudden, like how? Like yesterday I was fine. I didn't do anything out of the ordinary. I just happened to bend or stretch a certain way. And a seemingly, healthy professional athlete is now, you know, totally debilitated because one little bone is out of place or, the hydration level was off. It's almost impossible to pinpoint, to be honest with you. As I said, you know what? Some guys just find a way to step up. You look at a guy like John Lackey over the course of his postseason career. Obviously not going to be in the Hall of Fame, but when you look at what he was able to accomplish when he was in the postseason, that guy's a warrior, an absolute beast. And guys, certain guys show up. Certain guys show up and certain guys don't. Certainly there's a lot of pressure on Clayton to perform. Number one starter or whatever, but one could argue that Walker Buehler is probably their number one right now. He's done a pretty good job, but that club, as good as they are on paper, if they don't win at all, it's going to be a huge disappointment for the LA fan base.
Well, you mentioned being a lifelong Dodgers fan. What's your confidence level? Because let's be honest, where do you rank the pitching staffs, Rays versus Dodgers? I got to think you're checking the Rays, no?
Yeah, I do check it, but that Dodgers offense is pretty amazing. You know, the old adage is good pitching always shuts down good hitting. But when you look at the way the balls are flying out of the yard, how far they're going, A, the balls are juiced, but, man, there's some pretty darn good offensive players. And, when they add a guy like Mookie Betts to that group, that's definitely a game changer. Look at how huge that guy came up both sides of the ball for that club. There in the LCS, robbed a couple of home runs, continues to anchor the offense at the top of the order. He's a table setter. He's a total difference maker, worth every cent they paid him. And man, I like the Dodgers' chances. I just don't see it being a short series. I think it's going to be a lengthy one. And whoever pitches best is going to win this. Obviously, whoever pitches best, and they both have a great chance to do so. Kershaw could show up. Buehler's awesome. I mean, just absolute gas. These guys throw so darn hard now. Everybody's throwing 95 to 100. It's unbelievable. And then you bring in, Carrot Top. They're just throwing absolute missiles, like triple-digit missiles. I mean, how do you do that? I don't know what they're feeding these kids.
Well, and by the way, speaking of the ball flying out of the yard, it did in Game 7 last night for the Dodgers. And there was a minimal amount of fans there, but enough to capture a little drama. Like, it seemed like it had as much drama as any big October ball game, Zonny. And I just think about the fans, whether they're in the park or not. Like, in 97 with you guys with the Marlins and the old park. And what was that? Joe Robbie, by the way? Where was that park in Miami?
Yeah, that's what they called it, Joe Robbie. Actually, no, it was Pro Player Stadium. It was originally Joe Robbie. The years I was there, they called it Pro Player Stadium.
Where was it?
And we had... it was kind of in the hood, to be honest with you. It wasn't in a good spot. Kind of, I think it was a little northeast northwest of Palm or of Fort Lauderdale. I get my bearings. I just remember the highways on how to get there. It was kind of north of Miami, but Pembroke Pines ish area, Dania type. It just like kind of out there in the middle of a swamp. But not a good neighborhood. Nothing else to do around the ballpark. But man, we had 70 plus thousand people in the stadium for Game 7 of that World Series. It was pretty electric.
That's what I mean. The atmosphere. I was driving around Marlins Park, the new place, and I thought, if my car breaks down, I'm screwed. Like, speaking of sketchy areas. But anyways, the fact that there are some fans in the park helps. I mean, because I had an NFL guy on last week, Torrey Gurley, saying huge difference in the NFL with fans versus no fans in terms of hearing the calls, right, and stuff like that. How does it affect baseball this time of year, in your opinion?
Oh, it's got to be huge. Any kind of adrenaline boost you get from a fan base in the ballpark present is monstrous. I mean, these guys have been playing in empty stadiums all year long, and I can't even imagine how difficult it must be to get yourself ready to go every day. Like, oh, okay, nobody's there. I mean, no doubt about it. I fed off the energy of the crowd for years. Loved it. It was, you know, being a – you're a performer. When you're an athlete, you're a performer. Who are you performing for? You know, it's like, lights, cameras on. Go out there and do your thing. And there's a lot of guys who, you know, are awful in practice. And that, I can imagine that's what it must have felt like all year long, kind of like a scrimmage with no fans in the stands. That had to be absolutely awful. Awful experience to deal with as a guy that's used to playing in front of 35,000-40,000 people to be playing in front of no one. I can't imagine it would be too easy to get up for some, you know, get up some days to play ball.
That's what I mean. Just last night with just the whatever it was, 7,000-8,000 made a huge difference, it looked like, in the Dodgers and their emotion. Well, Zani, you called it. You said L.A. I don't think you said Tampa was going to make it this far. But kudos for that, and enjoy the World Series, and maybe we can bring you on for a wrap when it's all over.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll be watching tomorrow, that's for sure.
All right, appreciate the time, brother. My best to the family.
Yeah,
Greg Zahn joining us. Greg Zahn joining us from Toronto, World Series champion, Blue Jays great, and longtime analyst. We're going to take a timeout. Dupes will rejoin us. We're going to do this new feature next, Dupes. It's the RP Show, and you are watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm going to skip baseball for the sports update because we just talked about it. There will be two football games on today. The reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs will play the Buffalo Bills in a game that was rescheduled due to COVID-19 concerns. 3 p.m. Mountain. Do we know what TV channel that is on? It's the bane of my existence.
I think TSN will have it.
Trying to find these games. I heard on ESPN this morning that it is a Monday Night Football doubleheader, so maybe both will be on Canada's sports leader.
Yeah, otherwise, typically the game, I think, might have been a CBS broadcast, which would mean it would be on a different channel.
That muddles things up.
Yeah, but usually Monday Night Football games are on TSN in Canada.
And the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys will meet in the other matchup. That's 6:15 p.m. That's your regular Monday Night Football matchup. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
My favorite app, the one I use the most, I'm on not only every day but multiple times a day, is the Score app. But it has, from what I can see, the U.S. television listings on the games. As a matter of fact, I know that it does. Doesn't have the Canadian TV listings.
Right.
First world problems, I know.
Yep.
But still a problem.
Yep.
Canadian rookie Chase Claypool made four catches for 74 yards as the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Cleveland Browns 38-7. Big Ben threw for 162 and a touchdown. The Steelers remain undefeated at 5-0. Jason Kokrek hit an 8-under 64 en route to victory at the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek in PGA Tour action Sunday. It's Kokrek's first tour title in 233 tries. That's a lot of tournaments, man.
Oh, yeah. for sure.
Adam Hadwin of Abbotsford, BC, finished in a tie for 28th. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll ever have with seven amazing flavors. I think now make it eight with almond mocha.
It's pretty good.
RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. One of our P1s, Todd Pinkney, telling us the game is on TSN 5 today. And our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hakowicz, telling us that it's on Fox. Is it on both?
Could be on both. The Fox
or one of those two is wrong.
Yeah.
So we're introducing new sponsors. We got new sponsors, and I know they're all watching over there in the Band City. The face-off segment that we're going to do daily. I like it. Can you make that big again?
Do it again, Clark.
Can you do it again?
Here it is.
That was so fast. Woosa, the Mad Greek, face-off, ultimate fan zone. I'll read their liners in a second. Why don't you explain? They came up with this, right? This was not our idea.
No, but they're working together on it. So the Mad Greek, the ultimate fan zone in Moose Jaw, coming together for the face-off. And they're on either side of the dot there. We're on either side of the face-off circle. It kind of works out really well, where when we get into a topic that we kind of disagree on, or, you know, kind of go back and forth on, it can be the face-off of the day, the ultimate fan zone Mad Greek face-off.
So we do it anyways?
We do it anyways.
But now it's going to have a name.
Yeah, and we might, like today, you know, drop the puck in the face-off, have a topic ready to go. You know, we may just get into one and decide, hey, this is the face-off. We're already into it. Let's go. And they fire up the graphic.
So it would have been earlier in the warm-up when I asked if the Leafs were assembling an old-timers team by signing Joe Thornton and Jason Spezza, who they already had. And what are they, going after Doug Gilmore now? But you like it. And you said we could talk about it now because it's all new viewers. I kind of wonder if it's all new viewers. It seems like we've had a lot of people for the same guys. But in 30 seconds or less, do you want to explain why you think this is a good idea that they would sign these guys, the Greybeards?
There's enough talent on the team to win. We know that. We know that. We've seen it in the playoffs for the last number of years. They have enough talent to win. They can move the puck around, you know, at will almost. They can score enough goals. That's all fine. But they just don't know how to win. They don't know how to win, and they don't have anybody that knows how to win or cares enough about winning. And I know Joe hasn't won a cup, but he's won in his career. He's won championships. He's won gold medals. He's won playoff series, which is more than these Leafs can say. But the biggest thing is he cares about winning. You can see it when he plays. You know in the playoffs. He cares about winning. It matters. And for some of the kids, I wonder just how much they actually want to win, right? And there's enough talent in the NHL. Everybody wants, as soon as you lose, they quickly go to, well, we need better players. I always want to make that excuse. No, you just need to work harder and want to win more. The difference between winning and losing at the highest level is your ability to want to win. And I think Joe Thornton, I think Jason Spezza, I think they have enough want to. And I think when those young kids get distracted, they'll be like, look at what are we doing here? Like, I don't have much left. When you got one foot in the grave, you look back and look, and you're going to be looking back at all the things that you wish you had done differently and putting in that extra effort, trying to win. I think the culture is more important to the group right now.
I said 30 seconds or less. I think he went 90 to 120, but that's okay.
And give me an inch.
Producer Clark, I am more than happy to read Producer Clark's thoughts on this because he is as staunch a Leafs fan as Darren. And I'll just read what he says. I don't necessarily agree with it, but he says, I'd argue that Joe's need to win is more valuable than whether or not he has won the cup before. He's been to the top but never planted his flag at the peak of the mountain. He's going to push the young pups. I don't believe he's been to the top. I guess you guys are talking about the Olympics. But anyways, I've gone far enough.
Conference finals, right?
Stanley Cup final against New Jersey,
that's right. Yeah,
and didn't win. And that's totally fair. Totally fair. Because he can't do it alone. But I just, you Leaf fans, you slay me.
Why now? Because this is so different.
This is our year. This is our year. This is our year. Set your watch by it.
I know. It should be in your calendar constantly for October. Just the recurring event in the calendar.
You get it. You know. You know.
I do. Deep down, you know. But that's why I like this, Rod, because it's so different. Because usually it's, we got to get the best free agent player available. If we don't get Alex Pietrangelo, the Leafs failed. And, of course, he wants to come to Toronto, right? We get Jonathan Tavares, and that's the goal in every year. This is so different than that, that it's more about culture than trying to find just the best player to play, because the best players don't always win. They just don't.
Best team.
The best teams win.
Thank you, Bernie Perrant.
And I think this is so much better for the team.
I feel like this is Jeopardy or when they go too long.
Round the horn. No. Or a PTI.
Or Wheel of Fortune.
That's one. Yeah, exactly. Take too much time.
I'm Pat Sajak. He's Vanna White. Anyways, there is a portion of what we're going to be doing every day. The face-off for the Mad Greek and Ultimate Fan Zone. And I'm making a roadie out there later this week, guys, to visit with you. Billy, if you're watching, tell me what works best. DM me on Instagram Thursday or Friday. I'm coming by myself. I'm going to swing over and see the Warriors, too. Visit the Mad Greek and Moose Jaw for the best authentic Greek cuisine. It's very good. It's good. It's good. Available for pickup or delivery. Head to themadgreekeatery.com for more information. An Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams. Jerseys, caps, and team apparel. They are your official licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Built by fans for the sports fans in southern Saskatchewan. I need to add to my Cowboys collection, Billy. Can we get on that? By Thursday or Friday.
And what does he have in there for Titans gear?
I'll find out. And I'll let you know.
I'm looking forward to it.
Overtime is next. We'll be right back. It's the OT. It is the RP Show. You're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Just don't get it.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. It is overtime. I was thinking of getting a haircut today, but now I don't think I will. Have you noticed I've got the DuPont Flow going? It's going to take a while.
It's looking great.
It's going to take a while. But
I'm getting sick of mine. I'm ready to get rid of it.
I was going through some old photos on the weekend, just from the last year, where you had a goatee and short hair. You look like a different person.
I know. I know. I can't believe it. I'll get back to that eventually.
You could go into being an undercover cop, if you will. I remember, it's unbelievable.
You said that.
What are you laughing at?
I remember rolling into a training camp, and I had never grown a beard in the summer. One of the first times I saw you, sunglasses. The hair wasn't long, but sunglasses.
A beard.
And a beard. And you're like, who are you hiding from?
And I barely knew you.
You barely knew me at the time.
In Prince Albert, we had an assistant coach by the name of Dale McPhee. UPA viewers will know him as Mucker, because he played for the Raiders on the 1985 Memorial Cup champion team. He's now the chief of police in Edmonton, but he pulled me over one day, and he was in his undercover garb, full beard, shades, long hair. I had no idea he's tapping on my window. Roll it down. Yes? Roddy, it's me, Mucker. What? You don't know how you can change your appearance?
Yeah.
Which people don't even realize. Those undercover cops, man, they got it. Why is everybody going on about my laptop stand? Can they see it that well? I thought I had it hidden. Darren Bradley, Caesar, says RP's new laptop stand is the empty golf ball bucket after he lost all those balls. Why do I need anything fancy? It works. It's working just fine. My chiropractor is happy. It's fixed my neck. He didn't want me looking down at my computer screen. I don't see anything wrong with this. Should I hide it a little more? Hi, Paul.
I mean, I thought it was hidden pretty well. But
are you winning the day, Paul?
We are winning.
All right. I don't really have anything to say here other than we'll be voting on the rock star of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. And your options are Ron Robison, Eric Engels, Greg Zahn. And I could throw John Cooper in there if we wanted to.
Yeah, he made an appearance.
We should throw him on.
Why not?
On the poll.
Why not?
Because you know people are going to go, you actually have the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning on?
They will say that.
We did have him on by video, courtesy JSB. I feel like we covered a lot of ground today, folks.
Yeah, we did.
We introduced a new feature, the face-off, for the Mad Greek and Ultimate Fan Zone. You said you could go back and forth with fans on the Leaf Talk all day. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're going to.
I probably will. I don't know. You know what? I'll probably resist the urge. I probably will resist the urge to jump in there. I would just caution, as you're trying to say, the one comment, I think it was Don that came in about, look at the third and fourth lines of this year's teams, and there's no way those old guys can do what they did. That's not, they're not supposed to do what they did. Trying to model yourself after last year's team is not going to have success next year.
Yeah.
Right? You got to look forward, and you got to build a team the way you will win, not the way somebody else won.
Yeah, and we were able to explain how and why we do a lot of things on this show today. And that's why I love this role. I don't think I could ever go back to doing play-by-play again. And I'll tell you why. Because the teams just want you to do the play-by-play, and that's it. You're not allowed to give your opinion. You're not allowed to give out personality. And I can't be that. It's like being in a straitjacket. I can't do that anymore. We were able to explain a lot of the reasons of why we do things here. I can't remember specifically what the example was earlier. Why? But this is just going fantastically.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. So
couldn't be happier.
If I think of why that point was, I'll tweet it. Paul's unnerved me. Well. You good? Okay. Tomorrow, it's going to be awesome. CFL legend Ricky Ray. The Silver Fox, Kelly Rumpel, here in the bunker. And Three Down Nation's Justin Dunk. To talk about the news, all the news that's fit to print in the CFL. You good?
I'm great.
Okay. We will see you all tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain on Game Plus TV Network and right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.